Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hello, everyone. I'm Siri Vaith, Executive Director of CFRI, the Cystic Fibrosis Research Institute, and I welcome you to this latest episode of CF Community Voices. I'm looking forward to today's presentation by Melissa Tumlin, the founder and executive director of the EAR Community Organization, who will share her work to advance legislation to improve hearing health care for those with advanced hearing loss who require bone-anchored hearing aids or cochlear implants. We recently had a very informative two-part webinar on ototoxicity in the cystic fibrosis community, in which we learned about the impact of aminoglycosides upon the hearing of many people with CF and how it can lead to significant hearing loss. So as such, today's presentation is very relevant to our community. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone that the information presented during this podcast should not be used for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And before making any changes in your healthcare plan, please consult with your healthcare team. I want to thank our sponsors who've made this podcast possible. That includes Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Genentech, Chiesi USA, Viatris, and Gilead Sciences. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Melissa Tumlin, our speaker today. She is the founder and executive director of the EAR Community Organization and the Microtia and Atresia Support Group on Facebook. She's an advocate for the deaf and hard of hearing community and is a hearing health activist. So Melissa, it's such a pleasure to have you here to share your work and this legislation that you are moving forward to help improve the lives of those who are hearing impaired. So with that, I will turn it over to you and you can take it away.
Oh, hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm very excited to be a part of today's podcast. And thank you, Siri, and thank you to the Cystic Fibrosis Research Institute for having me. Let me go ahead and share my screen real quick, and we'll go ahead and get to our presentation. My name is Melissa Tumlin, and I'm the founder and executive director of the EAR Community Organization. And today I'd like to speak with you a little bit about House Resolution Bill 477 and Senate Bill number 41. These are both national level bills that would help improve hearing healthcare for those who require bone anchored hearing aids and cochlear implants. Now, to provide you with a little background on these bills, ALI's Act is a bicameral, bipartisan national level bill that would ensure private insurers provide coverage for specialized hearing devices. These are called osseointegrated hearing devices. They're the implantables, and they include bone anchored hearing aids and cochlear implants. And the services for this bill would cover both children and adults from birth to age 64, including a variety of services, the upgrades for the devices, surgery, and other associated costs that come along with these devices. And just as a reminder to everyone, Congressman David McKinley is the only member of Congress who wears a cochlear implant. Now, our bill also has many endorsers supporting ALI's Act. They include many hearing loss organizations, audiology associations, and medical institutions such as Johns Hopkins, Harvard, Stanford, Weill Cornell, Columbia University, many hearing clinics, including New York Eye and Ear, Mass Eye and Ear. We have received endorsements from many otolaryngologists and audiologists on their own. And of course, nonprofits, just like EAR Community, when we end up donating devices to those in need because they have been denied insurance coverage by their private insurers. As I mentioned, we have great leadership behind ALI's Act. So first of all, when I mentioned that House number bill 477 has been reintroduced this January, this is actually a priority bill. It's a priority piece of legislation. And the reason is this was the first bill to be reintroduced out of Congressman Nagusa's office this year. So we're very excited. So Congressman Nagusa is pictured in the bottom left, and he is actually on the Medicare caucus. So he's over all caucuses for Medicare. And then Congressman David McKinley is next to him. And again, Congressman Mike Thompson, both again are on the Hearing Health Caucus. So they always wanna make sure that the deaf and hard of hearing community is receiving the help they need. And they welcome any issues they wanna be heard so that they can help them. Senator Shelley Moore Capito is a colleague of Congressman McKinley's, and you know, they work side by side, and she knows how he works each day as a cochlear implant user. She knows his struggles, his challenges, and yet he's so successful being a congressman in West Virginia and a wonderful lawmaker. And then, of course, we have Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Senator Warren has advocated for audiology services and hearing for many years. In fact, she's the one that introduced the over-the-counter hearing device bill that was passed just 2 years ago. And she's a huge supporter for the deaf and hard of hearing community. Now, somebody may say, you know, why do we need Ally's Act? Well, first of all, I have found it very challenging over the years to just try and simply explain to the general public differences between the different types of hearing loss and also the different types of hearing devices that those hearing losses aid. So again, Ally's Act is for osseointegrated devices. Again, these are the implantable hearing devices. These are not traditional hearing aids. So these are the devices that are often denied by their insurance providers. Now there are currently two of these devices on the market. There are bone anchored hearing aids that help aid conductive and sensory neural hearing loss. And then there's also cochlear implants that help aid severe to profound hearing loss. Now, you know, here's some pictures below just to kind of help everyone understand. But the first image is a cochlear implant user. And the second and third image, those are bone anchored hearing aid device users. The middle image of the little girl with her pink headband is my daughter, Allie, whom this bill has been named after, Ally's Act. And, you know, in addition to congenital birth anomalies with hearing loss being present right at birth, there's other defects, other associated syndromes and things that can happen as well. So for example, with my own daughter, she was also born with microtia and aural atresia. And as you can see, there's a picture of four ears there. This is when, you know, an individual, a baby will be born without an ear or both ears missing or partially formed. And oftentimes there's no ear canal, which results in hearing loss. Now, in addition to that and congenital birth hearing loss, you know, people develop hearing loss along the way. It has nothing to do with age. So for example, children and adults can absolutely have benign tumors that need to be removed that often damage their hearing. These are called cholesteatomas and acoustic neuromas. These devices can also help individuals that have tinnitus, also cystic fibrosis due to ototoxicity, including individuals that have Meniere's disease and sudden hearing loss. So again, these devices are often the only devices these individuals can even benefit from or be a candidate for. Again, a traditional hearing aid is not going to help their type of hearing loss. Now, another reason why we need Ally's Act is these devices are expensive. They're not the cost of a traditional hearing device. These devices typically range anywhere, like for example, a bone anchored hearing aid ranges from $5,000 to $12,000 each. And that is not including the surgery cost. If you lump that in, including the processor itself, you're looking at about $15,000 to $30,000, depending on the facility where you've had the surgery. And then cochlear implants are even more expensive. So their cost of surgery also is in upwards of $50,000. Now, also, as I mentioned, you know, there's the over-the-counter hearing device bill that was passed, but that doesn't include these devices. Again, these are specialized hearing devices. They require fitting, programming, and activation, and also additional appointments along the way each year. And honestly, you know, it shouldn't have to depend on the state you live in or the insurance plan or provider you have in order to have insurance coverage. It's completely discriminatory on so many of our community members when some individuals are covered and some are just not, when we're all paying into insurance. So I like to educate everybody on current state level healthcare for hearing device insurance coverage that's in place. This map shows the green highlighted states. There are currently 27 of them, okay? So currently only 27 states in our nation have some form of private insurance device coverage, okay? And unfortunately, out of those 27 states, not all of them cover these devices we're talking about today. Quite typically, they will cover traditional hearing devices. Now, there's a lot of inconsistency. For example, with state-level insurance plans, they all vary. They range in the services they offer. One example is age. So these plans, one state may stop at covering these devices at age 18. Another one might stop at age 22, or if you're lucky, age 26. But I don't know about you. When our children grow up and become adults, their hearing loss is not going to improve, get better, or just go away overnight. So for insurance providers to think that this is the best coverage they can offer when we truly need it throughout adulthood, again, it's just not acceptable. Now, how would Ali's Act change lives? I'm very excited. This bill is a loaded bill, and all of the services they offer are below. So not only would Ali's Act provide coverage for the actual bone-anchored hearing device and cochlear end device itself, but it would also provide an upgrade replacement every 5 years. It would cover accessories for the devices. It would cover certain repairs for these devices. It would cover one ENT appointment, and it would cover one audiology appointment per year. It would also cover the cost of the surgery when you're interested in implantation. And it would also cover the postoperative care appointments following the surgery for these devices. And again, this bill also includes aural services, which would be speech therapy, ASL, or cued speech. So you'll have a choice. And another important point to hit on is the solution of this bill. It offers cost savings along with it. Again, this is not an expensive bill. If Ali's Act becomes law, House number 477 and Senate Bill number 41 would help hundreds of thousands of children and adults have access to life-changing treatment, allowing them to live the lives they dream, participate in the workplace, school, and community they live in, and enjoy a higher quality of life. Again, these are hundreds of thousands of individuals. We are not talking about the 48 million Americans that have hearing loss. So this bill is not expensive. It's not millions of people we're talking about. And also, we have a very good idea of how much this bill would cost for private insurers to cover the services under this bill. So based on current market sales for these devices, and this is across the board for all brands that are currently offered, and this is public information. So from day one, when these devices were sold on the market, to last year when we obtained our numbers, it would literally cost insurance providers less than 30 cents per person per year to cover the cost of Ali's Act services. Also, there's more savings. Insurance providers and other resource providers could save even more when individuals are aided. So according to studies by the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg School of Public Health, and also research conducted by the Hearing Health Foundation, these studies show that when individuals are aided, it cuts costs on emergency room visits, early onset of dementia, falls, traffic accidents. All of this adds up for insurance providers to have to pay for. So when individuals are aided, it cuts back on that safety issue. And also, recent studies by the National Institutes for Health show that, again, when children with severe to profound hearing loss, and this was only done on a study with cochlear implants, it doesn't even include bone anchored hearing aids, but when children are aided early, such as from first grade on through 12th grade, not only does it save our schools and educational system money, but it saves those individuals savings in the long run overall. Now, how can you support Ali's Act? So we are asking advocates, medical professionals, family members, you write to your local Congress representatives and your senators. Ask them to co-sponsor this bill and support it. Tell them why this bill is important to you. Maybe you have a child that would benefit from the use of these devices. Maybe your friend has hearing loss that is a cochlear implant user and they've been denied the opportunity to hear. So also, you know, consider following up with a phone call to your office, maybe 3-4 weeks later, make sure they got your email or your letter. And again, ask them to co-sponsor and support Ali's Act. Everybody knows things don't happen overnight. You have to be the squeaky wheel. You have to be persistent. And people often have to try multiple ways to get things done. So my daughter, this is Allie. She's actually who my organization is founded after. She actually, in 2019, came home with a homework assignment. And in this homework assignment, it was an opportunity to just do something to better your community. And there was a list of ideas. And one of those ideas was to write to a local lawmaker about a cause that you care about. And she looked at me and said, "Mom, my Baja." Because she knows we've struggled getting coverage and so many families that my organization has helped over the years. And so we did. And it just happened to be during the month of May, which is Better Hearing and Speech Month. And so Allie sat down and we chose to write to our local representative, who's Congressman Joe Neguse. And here's some pictures of her writing. You can see Allie wearing her Baja on her headband because she's not yet implanted. But to our surprise, the second image over, we received a letter back from Congressman Neguse, and he just really wanted to help us. He responded to Allie, and he said that he would help advocate with her. So again, things don't happen overnight. For the last couple of years, our organization has been trying to advocate for hearing device insurance coverage in multiple ways. So we've done Advocacy Day on Capitol Hill, where I brought 8 ear community families with me 2 years ago, and we tried advocating for hearing device insurance coverage. Allie wrote her letter. I was trying to go make visits on my own. So there's pictures. There's me with one of my board members at the Capitol, and then I'm pictured in the next images with Congressman Neguse, Congressman Thompson, and Congressman McKinley. And these were multiple efforts, multiple visits, and finally, they really wanted to help us. So this is what it took to get this done. A little girl writing a letter, an organization advocating for the past decade for their community members, and trying to meet in person. So finally, this happened. And when our bill was reintroduced this year, oh my gosh, we had a lot of activity in the media and press. And this is where I want to encourage members, advocates, you can do this too. So the first image here, right after our bill was introduced, Congressman Neguse decided to get Senator Elizabeth Warren on board, and they interviewed us and interviewed Allie, why is her Baja important to her? How does it help her hear better? And then we had articles go out through Good Morning America and CNN, and we've been on other podcasts like this one. But most importantly, everyone in the community can be involved. You can write stories, you can participate like we were talking about by advocating with your local lawmakers, ask them to support this bill, advertise, promote awareness and education through social media channels. There's so much here that we can do that can help each other out. And so we are off to a great start this year already with media and press coverage. And one last thing, we have our one pager that I mentioned. This is it. This is on Ear Community's website. This not only shows background information on our bill, who all the co-sponsors are and sponsors for the bill, but it lists our current list of endorsers. And as a reminder, I just want to mention and remind everybody that every voice matters, okay? Nobody knows there's a problem until someone speaks up, okay? So your voice matters, and for everyone to just try and help with important pieces of legislation like this that will benefit you or your loved one in the future, this is what we need to do. We need to speak up, okay? And again, this is for the future. So we need to get this covered now for the future of our children and our adults and make this the law. And again, it's a community effort. This is not gonna happen with one person. We have so many in so many different communities that would all benefit from these devices and who have struggled to get them. It's not okay to have to fight to hear. So it should be something that is provided. And again, strength in numbers. So as community members, everybody coming together, This is something that's important to all of us, and it matters. So we're asking for your support. Again, that's Ali's Act, House Bill number 477, and Senate Bill number 41. Thank you for listening today, and we hope to get your support and make things better for the future with hearing healthcare. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing Ali's story and the action that has come out of that. And it sounds very promising. We will put up a slide again with the contact information for people so they can get those resources and contact their representatives to move this forward. And yes, time is very sensitive on this issue. It is important they know now that the community is supportive of this. So with that, I will close the podcast. I do want to thank you again, Melissa, for being here and sharing this incredible information. I want to thank our sponsors, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Chiesi USA, Genentech, Gilead Sciences, and Viatris. And I wish everybody safety and good health. Thank you so much.
Thank you.